This is Pop Wiltfong.
I'm Joe Canale.
I'm Ryan Tweedy.
I'm Pat Jansen.
And Mike Canale. All
right, so you know who's here now.
For Nebraska and the Scarlet.
From Van Nuys, California.
About 15 miles away from Hollywood, California.
It's the Big Red Cobcast.
Hey, welcome to the Big Red Cobcast. I am your only host, Ryan, and with me as always are my lesser sidekicks.
No, I'm not gonna entertain that. I'm Pat, but I'm not lesser.
I just wanted to let him do the whole thing by himself after that. Let's say, you know, like, go ahead, I'll just sit and watch.
Hey, you know who that is, guys?
You recognize that voice? That sweet, sweet voice?
It's me, Joe, from before. You probably thought I was Mike, but he probably hasn't been here in a while either.
No, it's been a while. I think it's been more recently than you, though.
Yeah, because he came to the bar at least once.
I did not come to the bar at all. I apologize for that. But Saturdays are, that's daddy day, when I spend time with my daddy.
It's when you treat yourself?
No, it's no, it's when I take care of the child.
So, oh, that's what daddy day
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
oh,
being okay. a daddy. But I still watched all the games, all the... miserable
victories.
So you
were there, you were just distant.
I was there watching all the victories that should have been by more points and all the losses that should have been by less or victories. If we had beaten Wisconsin, we could have been Penn State somehow, unbelievably.
But then it just would have been more frustrating that we lost to Iowa.
But we'd have still been in that game, yeah. Because if we had beaten Iowa, that's the crazy thing. If we had beaten Wisconsin and still gotten the shit kicked out of us by Ohio State, but then had beaten Iowa,
we'd be
5 or 6, maybe. You think we'd be in over Ohio State?
No,
we would have been Penn State.
No, I meant we would have been in the Big Ten Championship.
Yes, yes. And even had we won it, we probably would have been like Penn State, where we would not have gotten in.
Right.
They would not have put a Nebraska team that lost by 60 to Ohio State.
62-3.
Let's... over a Washington school.
No.
No, although they were doing everything they could to keep Washington out.
Yeah.
Like, I get strength of schedule has some importance, but also, like...
But it's you playing the D2 teams. That's what it was. Didn't they have an FCS team?
But every fucking SEC school has, like, three of them. Nichols State, Arkansas State,
but then
Alabama,
well, and that's
Catholic.
Changing maybe a little bit.
There are no Catholics in Alabama.
Alabama Methodists.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, Alabama's the only team that had any shot in the SEC this year.
Yeah.
And they cannibalized themselves. And then teams like Tennessee, which we'll talk about.
They didn't cannibalize themselves. They just were bad.
Other than Alabama was the one good team in the SEC this year, and that's it. And I guess my problem with strength of schedule is some of that's luck. You can't control what your opponents do. I mean, that's you're putting it all on the administrators. Then if the players go out and play and win every game, like, sure, if they're just playing Portland State and, you know, Sisters of the Poor, yeah, sure,
yeah,
like, make
is that
an effort.
The real name of a school?
No,
I think that's a kind of a generic name for
a
bad school.
Old guys say when they want to bring up a bad school. But,
or like when old guys are talking about sketch comedy and then they say at the end of it you need to have a good blow.
Yeah.
Back then it was a different age in comedy.
But like Nebraska couldn't control that Oregon sucked this year.
No.
Nebraska made a genuine effort, but you schedule these things 10
years
out.
Right. Oregon looked like it would have been a powerhouse against us. And then the game, you know, up until when we beat them, they still looked all right, and then they just lost like 4 in a row after that.
Yeah, well,
we set them on their slide.
Yeah, but like USC went through two different cycles. Like after we put them on our schedule, they were like, "Oh, cool, USC." Then we're like, "Oh shit, USC, they're terrible." Then we're like, "Oh shit, USC, they're really good now."
Yeah,
like there was just a huge cycle there. So I don't know. I'd rather just, hey, if you win your games, and it's like if it's close,
yeah, because Washington beat enough Pac-12 teams to show that they were a viable contender. And then, when it comes down to me,
even though it was kind of down, was still better than the SEC this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a little up in the air. The thing about the SEC, and I think Tennessee's a great microcosm of this, Ole Miss as well, though, and LSU also. The players they have are great, but they're running a high school kind of program in terms of the complexity of the offense. Like Tennessee, I've watched a lot of their games this year. Butch Davis is an awful coach. Time management, just run, like the plays that they run and when they run them. All SEC teams think they're Alabama, where they can pound you and pound you and pound you, and maybe the game is like 7 points or 10 points at the half, but then in the second half, they're just going to run you over.
Nebraska, 94, 95.
Well, yes, but there aren't – there. Alabama is still like that. But these other programs, Tennessee, yeah, they got a lot of athletes and a lot of 4 and 5 stars, but they're running like a high school offense.
Well, they've been saying that like there's just – no discipline or any kind of organization within that Tennessee program this year. And when your programs are essentially run by bagmen, I can see how that happens. Yeah. Like you get these guys who are like, all right, well, my car's not working. And like they're too fucking coddled because they've been offered at 17, $20,000 to sign. And like that'll, it creates a real weird psyche.
I think Nebraska's done a really good thing with the way, and I have not been in their facility, but I, you know, we all know it's state of the art and one of the best ones in the country. And then one of the things that gets emphasized a lot is that academic center they have, which I really do think separates them, certainly from SEC schools, where
their academic center is just like some rocks and a frog.
Well, yeah, and the fact that, you know, of course Nebraska is a big time program and winning is 90% of the whole thing, but they're at least making an effort to look like they're doing the student part of the student athlete situation.
It's them, Stanford, and Notre Dame doing that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Michigan's a good school, and there are many good schools. Berkeley, Cal's a pretty damn good school. But I would guess
not great
that
at football though.
No. Right. They don't put as much into that. Oregon has a very good facility, but I don't know if their academic facility competes. But I'm just thinking, like, a school like Tennessee, yeah, you got a bunch of guys going there to get in the NFL, essentially. You know, because Tennessee puts a lot of dudes in the NFL. But on the field, I'm never impressed by what Tennessee does.
No.
They got some great running backs. And you know.
Did they have Arian Foster?
They did have Arian Foster.
Before he became a vegan.
They have Jalen Hurd. They had Jalen Hurd, and he's quitting the team. He quit the team like 4 games
ago. Yeah, he wants to play
a
different position.
Yeah, and I guess he's a very tall running back, actually.
Yeah.
And then they had this other guy, Kamara, who's an Alabama transfer. That guy's pretty good. He's going to be the test for Nebraska in this game. That line and him, that will be the test in this bowl game. Whether we can stand up to them for the 4 quarters. Because they're just going to try to bang away at Nebraska over and over and over and over again.
Did you see the quote that Banker had after the Iowa game that now is suddenly gaining traction?
No.
That because they got completely out-muscled by Iowa, they said their practices must have been bloodbaths. Both Nebraska and Iowa fans were pissed because Iowa fans, they're just dumb and they take everything as an insult. Not that Nebraskans aren't like a little bit itchy to be insulted sometimes, right. but there was also like, well, why weren't we more physical in practice? I mean, Nebraska just hasn't had the bodies to be more physical
right.
this year.
Well, and we just Bo left nothing. I mean, there was, by the time Bo left and all the players retreated, and then you had Coach Kaz, you know, poisoning the well, there was nothing left. Bo couldn't. If this was a Bo team, this would not have been a 9-4 or 10-3 team. This would have been a 6-7 team, a 7-7 team. This
you
team
think
is,
so?
Yes, I don't think that
he's in the semifinals of the.
Is he? Is he beating a bunch of FCS schools with a bunch of Husker players?
He's got a couple of them,
like 3 or 4. Get the fuck! Fuck Bo.
All right. That was
that's the Cobcast motto, by the way. That's our tagline.
Yeah,
I was a big Bosa. I turned on him. Fuck him, man.
Yeah,
I go through this every week.
Word for word, let me reenact. Let me reenact what Tweety says every week. I was a big Bo supporter. I loved Bo. You know what? You know when I stopped? When he called me a cunt.
Yeah.
That's word for word what Tweety says every week.
When he called me a cunt.
When did he call you a cunt?
He called all the fans cunts. He called everybody cunts. He just.
I think even after that, you were still into him.
No, it was that second meeting when.
Yeah. When the guy taped the thing and he was.
That's when I turned because I was like, man, fuck this dude.
I-Course became my guy in that moment. Like, I realize a lot of people don't like I-Course, but come on, man. He's our athletic director, and you're out. You're gone. You're not with Nebraska anymore.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Go do your Youngstown State thing. And I mean, Youngstown State is still a little bit like trying to dick Nebraska financially because he could, if he wanted, probably get a better job. And if he can't, then
yeah, it's like Charlie Strong. I was wondering if Charlie Strong is going to take like $30,000 for his first two seasons at wherever he's coaching.
South Florida.
Just
yeah, he's replacing Taggart.
Yes.
What happens when Les Miles takes the special teams coordinator position for like $50,000 a year just to fuck LSU and hang out with his son?
Yeah. That would be great.
Well, we already gave away all our special teams money to Dante Williams.
Yeah, that's what he's going to do for like 30. Trust me, we can get like 50 G's for a coach.
For Les Miles,
Les will be a head coach again soon.
Yeah.
I think he'll do ESPN.
No, but he'll do ESPN probably this year.
He should do that.
Of course,
he's getting of an age where it's gonna be hard to recruit eventually. Like people already use Saban's age against him in recruiting. They use Riley's age against him.
Well, Urban Meyer.
It might hurt Riley, but those guys are not hurting. Look, those guys have. That's what their O coordinators and D coordinators, you know. Bobby Bowden recruited pretty well
until he didn't.
But what happens there is you have one or two seasons where your system's not working anymore and people have caught up to you, and then the slide begins.
Well, and when you're 70 and things are starting to not go great, like – Joe Pa was one of the few people to kind of turn it around late in age.
Yeah,
like that's
rare. He was really good at turning around.
Oh,
that's a good.
Well,
it's
pretty obvious. Penn State fans are going to tolerate a lot from that program. they're going to give you a lot of leash there.
Except they were ready to fire Franklin earlier this year.
But there's a difference. That's post Paterno and Franklin. You know,
yeah, because he didn't turn his back on kids getting abused.
Yeah.
Like that's,
and by abused you mean, you know,
yeah,
molested.
Yeah, we know.
Okay, I was making sure we're all on the same page that abused.
No, Paterno.
I just didn't.
what Paterno did and what Briles did, they're not the only coaches to do that. But it's equally wrong in both situations. And Briles was getting fucking coaching interviews. Or potentially he was being mentioned at Houston, and of course they deny that. But it's like anything else; they float that out there. The NFL does this a lot, and Major League Baseball does it too.
And sees what how the
They'll float out the idea that Rob
See
Manfred will say
is.
Right, and it comes back, and it's like, are you kidding me? And they read a couple op-eds and big papers that are like, this would be criminal to, and then they're like, oh, we never considered it. But they take the high road after polling the country. To get off course. So what do we started out talking about what?
Hey, welcome back, Joe. This
yeah.
is how we do it.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a free form.
I mean, you mentioned all the talent with Tennessee, one of whom is Josh Dobbs. He's an ugly Sam Cassell, right?
Yeah, I think unlike Cassell, he has an excuse. He has alopecia, so that's why he has no eyebrows and no hair.
I didn't know that until this morning.
What's alopecia?
Alopecia is a...
Is that the one where your hands turn white?
Nope. It's a condition, and you can get it through like a virus, or there are various ways you can get it where your hair just all falls out. My wife, when she was pregnant, now this was... She lost all her hair when she was pregnant.
Right.
Went bald.
Completely bald?
Yeah.
Oh wow! I knew she lost her hair.
Oh well, we shaved it at the end, but it was like Gollum at the end. It really
was.
Are
there pictures of it?
There's one that you'll never see. But I said that before we shaved her head. I was like, it's like Gollum now. There were just little wisps.
I bet that made her feel really secure too.
Well, at that point, honestly, I was just trying to get her to shave her head because I knew it would be better. And it was. I mean, yeah, you don't want to insult the pregnant woman.
I've heard her talk about it after the fact, and it still bothers
her. Oh,
sure. I'm sure, yeah.
Because that's not something that usually happens. But I know a guy who was on a cruise ship, worked for Second City on a cruise ship. He got a virus, and he has not grown out eyebrows since then. That's like a different kind of alopecia, and like so he'll never grow eyebrows again. Josh Dobbs has, I think, from birth maybe he had it, and just like it's all no hair.
Maybe I shouldn't make fun of the guy. He's like a rocket scientist, but he plays for Tennessee. So.
Is he a rocket scientist? Is he very smart?
Yeah.
He's smart?
Yeah. He doesn't look it.
Then again, this comes back to Butch Davis and how fucking simple their offense is. All they do is play like run, play action bomb. That's their offense.
Wait, which team are you talking about?
Tennessee.
Tennessee now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really weird because that sounds like the most genius coach I've ever heard where it's up the middle, play action pass, touchdown, run, touchdown, punt.
Who's this?
Osborne in the 90s. Like, it's a genius game plan if you have the right players.
Yeah, but...
You just need a running quarterback, bro. That's all they need. They just need a Cam Newton.
Tennessee's not Alabama. You're right. Alabama can do stuff like that.
What's that?
There are a whole bunch of Cam Newtons floating around. There's not even a real Cam Newton anymore because his brain got turned to mush this year.
Dak Prescott?
Well, I think he got exposed last night.
He's been exposed the last couple weeks, right?
Well, when it's cold, Dak's not as good, I don't think.
Because he played in the SEC.
Yeah.
Where they didn't play in the cold.
That's right.
What happens? Ooh, this is a good question. This will really piss off some of the old-time Husker fans. Ooh.
Well, they're not listening anyway, so.
Yeah, they can't figure out the internet. Idiots.
They certainly aren't listening now.
Well, I'm not talking about them if they're listening because they figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know. They got a sense of humor.
Why don't we put a dome on Memorial Stadium?
You're pissing off every generation of Husker fans.
That's ridiculous.
That.
Why would you do that?
So we can play in the warm.
The warm. You sound like Christopher Walken. The warm. We'll play in the warm. Why are you saying this? Awful Walken.
And then I would have to sit in the cold.
No, you want the cold. If you're in Nebraska, you want the cold.
Yeah, you want that home field advantage.
Exactly.
It's not a home field advantage when you're playing Iowa and Wisconsin. They're used to it.
Yeah, but I mean,
what if everybody in the Big Ten just signs a deal where it's like we all.
You can't convert 40-year-old, 60-year-old, 70-year-old stadiums to.
They're all older than that.
Yeah, they probably are.
117 years is how old Memorial Stadium is.
Is it that old?
I don't think it's that old.
1869 or something.
Wow.
No, that's when Nebraska football started playing. That's not when Memorial Stadium was built.
Yeah, that stadium's probably like around the. I would bet it's 1920s.
I would bet that it's I'm going to guess. Hold on before you look. I'm going to guess 1906.
I'm going to say 1921.
I'm going to go 1906.
Okay.
Pat's
because I'm guessing the memorial was for the First World War.
Well, we'll find out in a second.
We're going to find out.
What was I going to say, though? Oh, yeah. Well, dome. If the playoff ends up like what so many people want with eight teams and first round home field advantage, then those cold weather stadiums are going to have value.
Yeah.
Because
that's a good point.
Yeah. So let's
teams
and
home field advantage is good. We're getting to the point, though, now college teams are playing as many games as pro. It's ridiculous.
They're getting close.
Like this job that I had, it was a sports show and we did research for these sports stories. They had a comic element to them and they were, you know, like a combination of sketch comedy and an actual
Joe just
report.
Threw up on himself.
I almost did. Is there a puke? I know there's a cough button. Is there a puke button? But we were talking about all the money these bowls make and everything, and bowl games are the only times teams can give gifts to players, essentially, because the bowls give them gifts.
Right.
But even then, $550 is the limit. So even say 100 players are getting that, you're deep into your roster. That's still...
Everybody gets to travel. Yeah.
Yes. So it's probably 105 players or something like that.
Yeah.
But even that, with the amount of money that the conference then gets for the bowl game, and the players are getting almost more shafted in these bowl games because of how much money is coming in, and yeah. and what I and think, they're getting
are,
so
are
little.
A lot of the bowl games losing money.
Well, the ones that aren't the top tier ones, like the Cotton Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl and all that. Yeah, like that Bahamas Bowl. Well, actually, the bowl themselves, they're not losing money. They're like the big NFL stadiums. They come to like the local government entities and they're like, hey, this will be really great for your city. Why don't you give us some tax dollars? And they get that, and then the Bahamas is like, hey, we're losing money, bros.
Because the Bahamas, they sell the Bahamas on people are going to come down there for a week and vacation. All the fans of these two teams would
Western
never have come
Kentucky,
to the Bahamas. Right.
Like, they're like, we're Western Kentucky. We can't.
When
we
you're
can't
in Conference USA and you have an 8-4 season, that's not a reason to travel, you know,
right.
short notice to the Bahamas. But yeah, the big bowls all do. And then those other bowls, you're right. The people organizing it probably break even because they get sponsorship. They get the TV money and everything. It's the community around there that probably suffers.
There's so much money to be made for those administrators. It's a lot like college sports in general where, you know, there's so much money being made. But like when I worked at VCU, I was making $24,000 to work like close to 80 hours a week.
Right. You were busting your ass.
Yeah. And then there were...
Stop bragging, bro.
Virginia is not a cheap state either. But like...
Depending on where you live.
Yeah. Because here it's a very cheap state.
Not around Washington, D.C.
Richmond, D.C., and Charlottesville, like where UVA are.
Yeah.
Those are pretty expensive. Western Virginia is really cheap. Western right. Virginia
Well, it's
is,
practically West Virginia.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, it's probably almost as cheap as living in Nebraska, basically. But like, a lot of the eastern parts and like the beach areas too. That was it's pretty expensive.
Yeah,
but
those
on
population
top of that,
centers.
My point is, so there were a lot of us busting our ass for next to nothing, and then there were tons and tons of just these administrators who were there to golf with rich dudes, all making six figures, and that's a lot of what the bowl games are too. It's that same kind of structure. I mean, you see it in corporate structure too, but yeah, the bowl games, and they're all fucking nonprofits, just like college sports conferences. It's crazy.
And I think, first of all, the term nonprofit is a misnomer because they're not,
of course,
nonprofits. The actual term is not for profit. So all that means is that you need to put X amount of dollars back into the company.
Right, and that's what you're paying the big-time people for. And an easier way to stay not-for-profit is to pay more of the money you're making to other people.
Pay your bosses and administrators slash yourself.
Yep.
So
let's make this a not-for-profit podcast, guys.
Yeah. No, trust me, it is.
We're there. So what were the years on Memorial Stadium that you guys
1920.
Guessed again?
1906.
1923.
Oh!
And you were partially right on who Memorial Stadium was named after.
I think it was named after Garfunkel Memorial, the dude named that.
Oh, so close. Okay. It was named Memorial Stadium to honor all Nebraskans who served in the Civil and Spanish-American Wars and the 751 Nebraskans who died in World War I.
Okay.
Later, they would honor World War II, Korea, so basically, and Vietnam. So basically,
it's a
anybody
war
who's
memorial
ever,
stadium.
Anybody who's ever been at war from the state of Nebraska.
Right.
It's just like, hey, you're honored here.
And I'm guessing at some point on the stadium, there would be a plaque or something for each of these wars, the people from Nebraska who died in all of them. You said 751 in World War One. I'm going to guess it was at least twice that much in World War Two.
I'm going to guess it was at least twice as much as that in the Civil War, too.
They don't list the number in the Civil or Spanish-American Wars, but it was...
Because I believe the Civil War was the bloodiest war.
But not in Nebraska, not in the Western territories.
We weren't really doing a whole lot
No, we weren't a state then.
We were a territory. 3,839 in World War II. That's like five times as much as World War I. Only 225 in Korea, though. That's what Grandpa Jansen served in.
Oh.
My dad was supposed to fight in Korea, and as he was getting ready to go over, they're like, your wife's pregnant, dude.
Nice.
Yeah.
My grandfather was going to... He did
My dad got shot.
He got shot?
He would have. He's a clumsy
My
dude.
Grandfather got a Purple Heart for before his troop set out for the Pacific in World War II. He was in San Diego, and there was a guy tossing dud bullets into a pail of dud bullets, and one of them wasn't a dud or something, and it all went off and exploded. That guy died, and like 20 guys got like shrapnel in their ass and got purple hearts for just like
shrapnel.
And then they sent him back, but like that.
Wait, he got a purple heart for
well, he was serving and he was, and there was an explosion. It was some idiot's fault, but
they should call that a purple fart.
Nice,
because it's like a brain fart.
That's good.
But he wasn't the one who did it. It was a different dude.
I just wish you would not have your hand down your pants so much during this podcast.
First of all, that's the first time my balls itched.
Well, then why was your hand down your pants all the other times?
It wasn't. Okay. This is the first time, man.
I'm just saying. Although this is the kind of material that's going to get people to donate to that...
to the Patreon, which we haven't brought up yet.
Think about this.
That's right.
Think about this Patreon, guys. If people were to go and donate to our Patreon.
Well, people don't know because we started talking about it on the part that we deleted.
Oh, yeah.
So Patreon, this is another part of the podcast. Go ahead, Pat. Explain what it is.
So if you love the Big Red Cobcast and want to keep us going, want to keep, you know, the equipment top notch, so we don't have to check our levels all the time.
And by top notch, we mean we need to go buy more of it from Goodwill.
Yep.
If you like our podcast and want it to stay podcasting, you can go to our Patreon and donate, and it can just kind of come out monthly. It doesn't have to be a lot. It just
could be a dollar.
Yeah, if everybody donated a dollar, we could pay for it. Would not cost us money to make this podcast.
We could buy a new cord that we wouldn't have to keep fixing.
Yeah, the levels would be great.
The coffee would be a little better.
Coffee is dope.
What kind of coffee do you have?
Making me have to pee already.
Dunkin' Donuts.
See, I feel like we could step up if we got some Patreon dollars.
What would you get?
Well, I think these can they dedicate their dollars to something specific?
They could. I mean, they could definitely comment.
If there's stuff like that, like if there's challenges, if you're like, I'll give you $10 a month if once a month Tweety gets hit in the balls with a tennis ball.
Okay. Done.
Stuff like
Well, not the balls.
Well, from a distance, we get one shot at you.
Yeah, but my...
And so if we hit, it's like a dunk tank.
Yes.
You pay $1
for
the dunk tank.
You've already got kids, though. How about we throw tennis balls at your balls?
That's fine. I've raised money for charities by having people throw a Nerf football from about 50 feet at my nuts.
It doesn't matter the material, man. If it clips you just right.
It's almost worse if it just barely...
We made $3,500 because it was $100 a throw. And I did get hit real hard.
How many times?
Direct shot, one time. Pete Gross did it. He got me. And he had bought like 5 throws. TJ Jagodowski bought like 13 throws and like was giving them to people.
Was this an IO thing?
This was the annual Letters to Santa.
And was the whole thing
charity.
Like, was the whole thing like, let's get... Joe, like, if we,
I stood up there, like, it was like a dunk tank. Whoever was throwing at me, I would insult.
It was a dick tank.
Yes.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is it one of those things where it's like, let's have Joe do it because people really want to throw shit at his balls?
Yes.
So they picked you specifically because...
Volunteered because I wasn't going to give money to this thing. I was already performing for 24 hours. They still wanted us to pay entry fee for this thing that we're improvising for 24 hours. And I was like, no. I'll make you money, but I ain't paying you any of my money. You're getting my time. And then I made more money insulting people than I would have made from my own pockets.
Good.
I know how to run a dunk tank. If I had a dunk tank, I could make a living in Los Angeles.
Ooh, that could be one of our Patreon goals.
My God, I think I could make a lot of money being a dunk tank.
Hey, guys, go to Patreon. Leave a note when you donate money. And again, you know, if everybody does a little bit, it adds up and makes our podcast go.
We'll buy a dunk tank.
And we'll flip this. We'll flip that dunk tank into 2 dunk tanks.
Yeah.
Before you know it, we'll have a dunk tank enterprise.
Business.
And or also we can just, you can earmark that money to whip tennis balls at Joe Canale's dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He seems on board.
You can earmark the money.
Okay, here's the deal. If you donate $10, you can earmark it football at blank balls.
So any of us.
So you can pick between the 3 of us.
And we're not guaranteeing a hit. We're guaranteeing throws.
And they'll be solid, because trust me, we'll want to hit each other.
Of course.
Yeah, you can pick who throws.
Ooh, yeah. I'm very, very accurate. If you want to hit somebody's nuts, please pick
when
me.
It comes, I can throw and I can catch and I can run.
Okay. If it's a round ball, I can throw it really well.
It's not a baseball.
Better than a football.
A football I can throw well. A baseball I throw like a girl.
All right.
And not like a good girl. Like a good girl that's good at baseball. But like a bad girl. Not like a bad girl, like a tough girl. Like a girl that throws a baseball poorly.
Okay.
All right.
I could get either of you guys with a tennis ball, left or right hand.
Oh, I love this. We got to set up. We talked about our challenges. Is your butthole healed up enough, Ryan, to run again?
Oh, my. It's not my butthole.
Well, no, didn't your anus, wasn't it? Hanging?
No, it wasn't. I didn't have a prolapsed.
You had a
anus.
Prolapsed anus for a while. No,
I didn't have a prolapsed.
I got to pee too bad.
I thought it was hanging out there. Okay,
no, I had.
That's not why you wear the baggy sweatpants.
No, I wear the baggy sweatpants because my dick is so big.
You sure that? I think it's your prolapsed anus that you're just flipping into the front.
No, my dick is so big that it looks like a prolapsed anus.
Oh, God, make that a bumper sticker.
The lettering will be too small.
Yeah, it's a giant.
Just like
bumper.
Tweety's
that's a windshield
dick.
It
goes
sticker.
Across the whole bumper.
No, I had a what was it? I don't remember what it was called now. A tear,
connective tissue
in my ass was either.
I know more about your ass than you do, unfortunately.
Is it fixed now?
Yeah.
Can we do that race again sometime?
Yeah, we can.
All right,
we'll have to wait till the new year, but yeah, we can.
Why? Why is that?
I'll explain to you off air. Okay, fine. I'll admit it. I've been smoking way too many fucking cigarettes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I noticed when I walked in, the ashtray outside is chock full of cigarettes.
Yeah.
And that's new. I haven't seen it like that.
I don't know what happened.
I do. You started taking an addictive substance, and you're addicted to it now.
I'm not. I can stop whenever I want, guys.
Sure you can.
Guys, I can stop whenever I want.
Well, you can donate your dollars and say, you can get this, but only after Ryan quits smoking.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'll
like
take
that.
It.
Yeah.
Basically, earmark it for whatever you want.
Yeah.
We don't care. I mean, we've got things that we say that we'll do with a certain amount of money each month.
And we'll do those as well.
Yeah. But you can earmark it other ways. And also, you can get certain kind of incentives for you personally.
Ooh.
So, you know, tons of things.
Bumper stickers, maybe, when we eventually get those. My penis is so big it looks like a prolapsed anus. If you give $5, we can get you one of those.
$5 a month, we'll get you.
And
one word a month.
So here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do for the ball throwing at the thing. After a month, we'll gather all the ones that we get, and we'll do a Facebook Live of that.
Whew. Wow, we should be planning this off air. The on air planning as we're going is going to get dangerous. Well, we will sacrifice one of ourselves on Facebook Live.
My wife doesn't want children, so you know we're good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I got all I need. I think
his wife is a 17-year-old boy.
Oh.
What? Because she doesn't want kids. I guess.
What?
17-year-old.
That felt more insulting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean it like that.
Boy.
As in, 17-year-old boys don't want kids, and so.
That's not the ideal person I think of not wanting kids. Like, 17-year-old boys aren't even thinking one way or the other about kids.
Oh, I always was like, hey, woman, that I'm about to make sweet, passionate love to you.
When you were 17?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was a romance novel.
Yeah.
when he was in high school. What's going on there, Tweety?
Let's return to some Cornhusker talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about the talent with Tennessee. I mean, they recruit like motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big thing that we're kind of focusing on right now with Nebraska, because that's the thing to focus on.
Absolutely.
Right now. It's the thing that'll make Nebraska relevant again.
They added this new coach, and you talked about that last week,
a little
I assume.
Bit. Well, like, just a couple hours after we finished recording last week, he finally became official. It wasn't official, so I was scared to bring it up. The thing, though, that scares me a little bit about him, and I think he'll be great long-term, I know we mainly brought him in right now to kind of bring some of these recruits along with him, but it's a little bit now, like,
repeat that last part?
What?
The last thing you just said?
I don't remember what
I
said.
To bring some of the recruits with him?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because we said earlier that I was wrong when I said that. When we were out there and I said that exact same thing.
I didn't say that.
Everybody was like, no, Tweety, you're a fucking idiot.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Tweety,
He's
my feelings got really hurt by that, guys.
He was brought in to recruit L.A.
Yeah.
And the hope is that he'll bring a lot of those guys
that they're currently recruiting.
Joseph Lewis and Gregory
Johnson.
Gregory Johnson.
The guys from Hawkins High School.
Both of them are.
Yeah.
Hawkins or Hawthorne?
Sadie Hawkins High School.
They're from
the girls ask the boys out.
They're from Hawkins. They're the Hawkins Hawks.
That's really funny. I always thought they were the Hawthorne High School.
No.
And I was like, man, that is a brave school to go to. Hawthorne?
What about it?
Isn't Hawthorne like that super bad neighborhood over yonder?
Well, maybe. I'm sure there is a Hawthorne High School.
Yeah.
Either way. But like with Dante Williams, I'm going to bring it back.
Okay.
Dante with the accent mark on the E.
Sure. Dante with the good hair?
He doesn't have great hair. He's got some cool tats on his arms, though. But
he doesn't smile in pictures.
No. You got to see some of these guys now. I worry they're seeing kind of how the sausage is made now, some of these recruits, because this will be the third school in 3 years for Dante Williams, and he will recruited Greg Johnson at all three of those schools, San Jose State, Arizona, and Nebraska. And at a certain point, some of these guys will be like, is Dante going to be there
Well,
anymore?
That's why he's got to, you know, they have to like the school, too. The good thing is Nebraska, weren't they recruiting this guy before?
They were. And, I mean, Greg Johnson's good, but, I mean, also a lot of that is like, hey, come here so you bring Joseph Lewis with you.
Of course. Right. Of course.
But if Joseph Lewis says no, they're still going to take on.
Yeah, they, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to take anybody they've offered right now. That's the whole point of the offering of them. They will recruit harder, the ones that they want first. But I would guess they have contingency plans. They got
a ton of them.
Right. I hope they start dropping soon. I hope some of these, you know, commits start happening so that
January
7th
is, I have a feeling we're going to get a handful.
After the U.S. Army All-American game.
Is that the 7th?
A lot of them are going to commit.
And when a five-star Joe Smith commits.
Joseph Lewis.
They're just, God, Jesus Christ. Joseph Lewis commits on national television.
That increases your profile.
He's going to grab the Husker hat. We're going to see the Husker hat up there a few times. I don't know if it's going to get grabbed.
I think it's going to get grabbed a couple.
Yeah. Well, Nebraska has more contingency plans in place right now than they have in the past. Like, they got burnt badly last year by Des Fitzpatrick, who was supposed to be a silent commit, who ended up then going to Louisville.
Did he play this year?
I don't know.
Or he redshirted, I think.
I think he probably redshirted.
Lamar Jackson was recruited by Nebraska.
Was he?
Yes.
We do have a Lamar Jackson on the roster.
But not that one.
Not that one.
No, I think the quarterback was also recruited at Nebraska. I think he had an offer from Nebraska.
I think the Lamar Jackson we have was a higher rated recruit than that Lamar Jackson.
Possibly.
Yeah, I mean, because our Lamar Jackson is a 4-star.
Yeah.
Foster
Sarrell, yeah.
Foster Sarrell. He's a more of a pass block.
He can do both. I mean, you wouldn't be the number one rated offensive tackle if you couldn't do both.
Yeah, he has an offer from Alabama, so he should be able to
run block.
Yeah.
But I'm saying his bread and butter is probably pass blocking.
Well, that's just the offense that they used at the high school he goes to.
So the
most tackles anymore, most of the high-rated tackles are really good pass blockers because they're trying to project to the NFL.
Right,
when they do a lot of these ratings.
And that's all about, that position's all about protecting the quarterback.
Okay, so.
Although Chuck Filiaga, who right now is favored to go to Michigan, but that we've got in for a visit.
Harbaugh's going pro. He's not going to be at Michigan next year.
Nah, that's not true.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is this Filiaga looks more like a run mauler than a pass blocker because he's like 350 pounds.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Whoever we get, hopefully we get one of these 4-star linemen. But I do agree, you said before, you think the number one lineman,
Foster Sarrell,
is going to go to Washington.
He's from Washington.
It's a big, they've risen in prominence this year. Chris Peterson's a very good coach. Like, he didn't USC try to get him?
Yeah, well, I really wanted him to come to Nebraska around that time.
Sure.
And I love Mike Riley.
No, Peterson would have been.
Peterson would have been.
Did they even approach him?
That's one of those things you don't really know.
Yeah.
I think.
And the problem, one thing about Peterson is he also has, at Boise, had some behavioral problems with some of the players. And
you
see that everywhere.
Stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then, there was that whole thing with the guy he sent to Baylor who then assaulted a woman at Baylor, and it was like, did he or didn't he tell Briles? Now, looking back, it looks like Briles is full of shit completely. And Peterson kind of called him out when they, at the time, that's before all this stuff happened.
They said they didn't know, and Peterson's like, yeah, he knew.
But those are some questions that are up there.
Well, go ahead.
No, I just am, you know, I'm anxious for something good to happen on the recruiting end sometime soon here.
I think we've got a lot of good plan Bs that really could be considered plan As, but are just there.
Right, because we have such good plan As right now.
Yeah, and the hope is that it doesn't just all collapse and then your plan Bs are elsewhere because you didn't prioritize them.
Right.
I mean, that's the danger of going...
But that's,
you know,
versus
what
Pelini would do, which is basically not shoot for the stars, and those plan Bs are your plan As, and then if they don't work out, your new plan Bs are less than what we've got.
Yeah, yeah.
Pelini
wasn't a shoot for the stars kind of guy.
No. I'm sure
Pelini was a Nebraska sucks it kind of guy.
Yeah, he was like, why would you want to be here?
I don't think he recruited that way.
You don't? Because he would say it.
He said that
newspaper.
On his way out.
Well, no, he said, why would anybody want to come to Nebraska?
Oh, that was as an excuse to himself.
As an excuse for being a horrible recruiter.
Right.
But then the recruits hear that, and they're like, oh, yeah, why would I want to go there?
You don't want him saying that. And I think we've talked over the points of why you would want to come to Nebraska, in that their facilities are the best in the country.
The strength and conditioning facilities, for sure.
And I think their academic center is as good as any other football programs in the country.
That's actually, like you mentioned earlier, that's a separating thing. Because, like, Oregon has dynamite athletic facilities.
But that's all Phil Knight's Nike Wonderland.
Yeah, which kids like.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, you need the thing that's going to be
different. And that's just as isolated as Lincoln, Nebraska. Eugene, Oregon. Lincoln's a bigger city than Eugene.
Yeah, and it doesn't get as much rain either.
No. It gets much colder.
Yeah, but it's also a much closer drive to Portland. And
yeah, I mean, but
it's not
to
like
me,
you can't
college
go to Kansas
kids.
City
are,
or,
I don't I mean, feel like college kids are into Portland. You know what I mean? Like Portland is more
they're not
for like
go get a chilled Seychelles.
Yeah,
out of
exactly,
a, out of a
exactly.
Mason,
college
mouse,
football,
mason jar.
Like 19-year-old football playing guys, don't really give a shit about the flavor of the Cronuts. In Portland.
They're going to go get some foie gras during the off week.
Yeah. I like Portland. That place is due for a big earthquake, by the way.
Really? So's here.
Yeah, but theirs would be more devastating because...
they don't have the infrastructure?
Because they didn't put roller skates
there's
on
like
the bottom
of their buildings. There's some water issues. Places would get flooded and stuff because they got some lakes that'll go down.
That would
make sense. Yeah, we're really lucky not to have a giant body of water next to us.
Only the biggest body of water.
Okay, I have two more questions for you guys.
All right.
Question number one. I'm going to save... Okay, this will be the second one.
Okay.
So it's question number two.
Whatever. Do you... We all can agree that a lot of schools are out there pay for play, right?
That's a weird question.
But especially the southern ones, I think it seems.
Yes, I think. I don't know if the schools do, and in fact, I would guess that legally speaking, none of the schools do except Ole Miss, where coaches actually paid the players.
You don't think that Alabama does?
I don't think coaches do.
I think
their system is set up.
They know what happens.
But
I think they know what happens, and I think they just figure.
Plausible deniability.
I think there's a little bit of...
Exactly. Okay, but wait.
You get it out there who you're recruiting via the recruiting services and like 247 Sports and Rivals, and then these guys are like...
Yeah, they know
who
the offers are out
okay,
to.
Okay, we know we need to head over to Najee Harris's place. We know we need to head over to Foster Sarrell's place and see what's up. That kind
of
thing.
Right. Okay, so with that being said... I just got an email, guys. No big deal.
Okay.
Do you think that Nebraska should adopt this sort of infrastructure if it would help get us to a national championship?
No. The way to get a national championship is to recruit criminal players. not
Which
ones who take
proven.
Money. Well, everybody's proven. Let's not pretend on that. No, I think Nebraska's, you know, they have a probably as much integrity as any other school, but that's to say that not everything is completely above board, I'm sure. I think I do kind of trust Riley's program because I think they would have been better at Oregon State if he was paying the players.
And it's not just SEC. Let's not forget, it wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, you think Clemson?
USC,
you think
Miami too, with the Nevin Shapiro thing,
right?
All guys, let's not like. There's dudes in Michigan paying guys.
I'm sure there's a car salesman in
Nebraska.
Lincoln, Omaha.
Of course.
But here's the difference. I think is that a lot of those guys. And this is just. I mean, we'll just say that. This is all speculation, right?
Sure.
Right. Yes, with every clearly. Of them, including the SEC ones.
No, that's all okay. 100% honest truth.
Well, we can say at Mississippi it is.
Yeah, Mississippi, 100%.
And Alabama, that one other guy did get, didn't he? Wasn't a coach pay somebody there and then got fired?
Oh, yeah.
No, he didn't get fired. Didn't he become the head coach at another school? Wasn't it the old D coordinator there?
No.
Kirby
no.
Smart? No.
Oh. Okay, so... I just lost my train of thought.
You're saying Nebraska should pay their players.
I know, but the last thing we were just...
I mentioned something about used car salesman in Omaha.
So let's say that you get a job at a car dealership and you work like a day a week when you're allowed to work.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a free car like mm-hmm. to drive around, like a lease.
Yeah.
Because you're an employee at the facility.
Sure.
That's a little bit... It's shady.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as...
Now you're drawing lines and you're saying this is okay and this isn't.
No,
and they're doing this
I'm
and
not,
they're not. That's how it escalates to everybody doing it because it's like, well, if they're doing it, we will too, and it's not as bad as what they're doing. And as long as you're not doing what's worst, then you're giving yourself some moral high ground. But I don't think any of it has that.
Okay, then I say we just bagman the shit out of everybody and let them pop steroids.
Well, you're just going. You're going from 0 to 100.
Yeah,
in a different argument than you started out.
No,
with.
It's my same argument. I'm telling you right now. Like, I'm tired of losing, guys.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Integrity was great.
So what you're saying is, what is the best? What is the fastest, easiest way for Nebraska to cheat to get to national prominence?
Right.
I don't want to win that way.
What do you mean we don't want to win that way? Like,
because
it's how we won, right?
If I found out afterwards we won that way, I wouldn't disavow the championship.
But isn't there rumors that who's the old strength and conditioning coach that changed the game?
God damn it. I got to pee too bad to come up with his name. Little short guy.
Yeah.
God damn it. Like, we all know who you mean. Old strength and conditioning coach who was fired by Bill Callahan.
Right. And is now working with the volleyball team or something like that, right? And also helping Mark Phillip. He's back with Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wasn't there rumors that he was giving all the fellas steroids?
In the 80s, Broderick Thomas days.
And the Christian Peter days and the Grant Witt, like all those
It was
guys.
The 80s where it was really suspected.
Everybody was using it. I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying it's probably likely.
I don't know. So, like, this is going to be a little bit tangential, but so when I was... in high school sports, you know, like all the Catholic schools in Nebraska in the small town things would.
I wish you guys could see Pat's legs right now. He looks like a dainty girl trying not to piss on himself.
They're kind of crossed.
They,
but like oddly crossed.
Well, he has very long legs, so it's hard for them not to be oddly crossed.
Yeah, everything is awkward. I'm like a baby foal who just came out of the womb and is
struggling. Like a baby giraffe. A foal would be smaller. Giraffe. You're a giraffe.
You're a baby brontosaurus.
Have you ever seen a baby calf try and walk immediately after dropping out of a mama cow? Like, that's me. A
lot better than baby humans, though. They don't do shit.
Yeah. They're useless.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty impressive, actually, that it gets up and walks. Couple seconds after being in there.
That means it was like walking around inside of her.
It was trying to stretch. Go on, though.
I don't even care about my point anymore.
Oh, no.
Okay.
You're saying
small towns, like all the Catholic schools would dominate these classes in Nebraska high school sports, basically because they could cap off their school enrollment. They could recruit people and then keep it low.
Stay in the lower division, but recruiting good players.
Yeah, they could bring people from outside towns, but also, you know, cap that enrollment. And so it felt like an unfair advantage. And they wanted to, at one point, make it that each student counted as 1.3 students in enrollment. But I was like, why? It would give the public schools, like where I went, a better chance to compete. But, you know, So they've got an unfair advantage. Let's beat them with the unfair advantage, and then
it's even sweeter.
Let's beat the Bagman schools.
But how often did you guys beat them?
I mean, we won occasionally.
Like what?
Nebraska's not going to be Alabama in the near future. That's just not in the
works. It only takes a 4-year cycle to become.
That's true. That's true. But
Clemson's working their way. But also, too, when they lose to Deshaun Watson, they may tumble back.
And
down,
look at Louisville. I mean, look at it. Like, how is Penn State doing it? How are they rising again?
Because they recruited really well.
How did they recruit so well?
They hired James Franklin, who was a good recruiter at a small school, and now he's got a bigger program.
In sanctions. They were in sanctions when he came on. And then they dropped the sanctions.
Well, he's also recruiting out of a pretty good hotbed of talent in that area.
And he's also probably...
Well, no. See, you're trying to lead us towards...
No, I'm not leading anybody. I'm telling you straight up. He's paying players.
Okay, well, that's your opinion.
But, I mean, there's no other way. Name a school. Name one other school that had sanctions that did well in recruiting during sanctions. Not even SC did that. And that's like when USC, the idea that USC is not winning national championships.
But they reduced some of those sanctions. Remember they reduced them a couple years ago?
No, not a couple years ago.
I thought it was 2 years ago.
It was a couple years ago.
Was it?
Yeah. I mean, those sanctions got put in quite a while ago.
And honestly,
Reggie Bush played over a decade ago.
And right. Are you talking about USC or are you talking about Penn State?
USC.
I'm talking about Penn State.
Okay. I think the Penn State sanctions got changed a couple years ago. You're also ignoring the fact that James Franklin could be a really good coach.
I'm not. There's no doubt that he could be a good coach.
But maybe that's why they're winning.
But it doesn't work. There's so many good coaches.
A couple games just have to go the right way. If Nebraska wins that fucking Wisconsin game, even with the Iowa loss, we're in the Big Ten championship game, and maybe a break goes our way, and Nebraska's won the Big Ten.
The Iowa loss would have taken us out, I think.
No,
because we would have held the tiebreaker over Wisconsin. Never mind.
It would have been two losses, and we would have beaten them.
Correct.
And Iowa would have had three losses.
Right.
They still had three losses coming in. So we would have, I mean, and you don't think our Nebraska team is as good as Ohio State, certainly. I don't think the Nebraska team this year is one of the eight best teams in the country.
No, and I don't think that, and I don't think that Penn State is either, though.
But if one play had gone differently for Nebraska.
One of the top two teams
I'm just saying, you change one play in that Nebraska-Wisconsin game, and now Nebraska is ranked in the top eight in the country, potentially.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying Penn State deserved it any more than we know if Washington is. They're in because they have one loss, and I feel like, you know, if we went to eight playoff teams, you'd have these same questions about 6 through 10.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But I don't think Penn State is necessarily as good as you're saying they are, and I'm not saying they're good. Well, you're saying that they got this way by paying players.
Yeah.
And I'm saying they could have gotten this way just by circumstance and a good coach.
Here's the danger of saying everybody who's not Nebraska who has success pays players.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that about the SEC.
And Penn State.
And Penn State. And probably...
Well, see, longer we let you talk, you will end up saying
that. The only successful teams, though.
No, but that's not true, though. There's, plenty of other teams. When I think of successful, I think of, top 15 teams.
Okay.
So who successfully do you think is not paying players?
Probably Oklahoma.
See, that would not be the first team on my list.
I think of those guys...
You know the history of Oklahoma.
When I think of the coaches that are probably playing players, it's guys like Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, Les Miles, probably Jim Harbaugh.
Okay, so I don't think Harbaugh's paying players.
I don't know.
You can't play. He couldn't have been paying players at Stanford.
He's too competitive to not want to compete at that level.
Don't you think he's also so competitive to want to just beat Urban Meyer just without cheating? Don't you think that would make him more satisfied?
No, I don't. I don't think he has to cheat.
I don't think Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh necessarily need to pay these guys. Their programs are high profile enough that they're going to get enough 4 and 5 stars.
The teams that are good that aren't paying players, I think, are the teams that are like Clemson, Louisville.
You don't think Clemson and Louisville?
I don't know.
Trino,
I think that every
and a guy
school,
named Dabo?
I think that every,
how can you take anyone named Dabo seriously?
I think everybody in the South, because of all those SEC schools do, almost have to.
And it may not be the programs. It's the bagmen. It's the boosters.
Well, of course. I don't think Nick Saban is showing up to somebody cutting a check from his personal account. I mean, nobody thinks that. But I guess my point is that maybe it happens everywhere. Like, do I think that we got Ndamukong Suh easy peasy, you know, lemon squeezy? Probably not.
And that actually allegedly came from a coach, too.
Right. I'm not saying that anybody's innocent, but I think there's a little bit of a difference between what Alabama is doing. They're doing it.
Well, okay.
They're an NFL team. They're buying their players. They're drafting them with dollar
bills,
man.
You don't think the lure of being coached by the best coaching staff that sends multiple players to the first round every year is enough enticement to go to Alabama?
I do, but I also think that it was built on the back of Benjamins.
All right.
I think
I need
that
more
should
evidence.
Be their new slogo, Alabama, built on the
new
back
slogo.
Of Benjamins. It's a half logo, half slogan.
So, all right, so let's slide that back into Nebraska recruiting then.
Okay.
And something we were kind of talking about, and this is all kind of some speculation stuff too, but it sounds like Nebraska's backing off Darnay Holmes.
That's the word on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
although a week ago I heard that they were still in it for him. And that may be coming out of his camp.
Well, that opened up because of Dante Williams. A lot of people that were off of our radar all of a sudden were back on our radar momentarily.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And there's been a lot of coded language from different reporters, both Corn Nation's own Brian Toll and Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald. They're all that there's like some sort of dark cloud hanging over Darnay Holmes. And I assumed for the longest time it was academics because people talked about that for the last year.
I've heard that it's everything from negative energy to a Cam Newton situation. I mean, we've heard it all. Like, it's all kind of floating around him right
and
now.
It's also, there's a little bit of the fact that when the pretty girl at the dance loses interest in you,
there's
a lot
too.
Of stuff that you start saying, well, you know what, she probably has a VD. And there may or may
Are
not be
Are you saying
any...
you think Darnay Holmes has gonorrhea?
I mean, I think there's as much chance of him having it as me, for example.
I don't.
Do you have gonorrhea?
I'm going to be honest. I think that there's a much bigger chance that Darnay Holmes has gonorrhea than you do.
Well, I'm fairly certain I don't have it, so there's a much bigger chance that he does.
First of all, do you say he's much more capable of getting clean girls?
Yeah.
Who wants the clean girls?
Oh, God, all right.
You want
all
the
right,
dirty
is,
ones. You want the dirty
this,
girls.
This thank God this is so late in the podcast that only the hardest core are listening, and they can't be deterred for anything.
No. So, I mean, we've got so many of those good plan Bs that we were talking about. I'd love to have Darnay Holmes, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But maybe it's one of those things where it's better if you get a really, really good four-star whose head is in it.
Who's into the program.
Yeah. Darnay would be. This is all, like, shit that we're hearing.
Yeah.
Recruiting so much.
He could be
much.
A great dude. Like, when we met him, we were very impressed with him.
Yeah. Sure. There's so much just
we
kind
did,
of...
Other than the fact that he seemed kind of like a primetime...
Aloof guy, but...
Yeah,
look,
but so did Deion Sanders, and he was pretty damn good.
And Darnay Holmes
primetime,
basically
yeah,
can play...
That's what made me think of it.
Yeah. He could play probably running back, wide receiver, or cornerback, or safety at any school in the country.
Yeah, and he'd probably be fine. I mean, there's so much in the shadows stuff with recruiting and recruiting reporting. You don't necessarily know what to believe, even from the best... in the business, and like there's probably no harder assignment than covering recruiting.
Oh God, yeah. And today, especially today, because I think players now are more savvy, you know, and they're in control of their own thing with all the Twitter, and it gets
it
them attention.
It is a little crazy how schools give these kids so much clout, because of Twitter, and they just fluff them, dude.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the game.
It was hilarious. So when I was at VCU, like that was a lot of our job was to, you know, puff a lot of these kids up. And it was mostly the basketball players because, you know, that was the football for VCU. And there was this old, I think he was from Germany, the tennis coach, for VCU, who was really successful, but he was just like, he just hated how much, like, a lot of the athletes just got pumped up. He's like, these fucking kids, they don't deserve any of this. He just came into our office and would just berate us all the time because he's like, they're 20 and they suck. Like, you don't need to say that they're great. And I was like, the athletic director says we do. But,
yeah, he's the one who controls my job, so.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite people just because he hated. He saw through what it was. And yeah. It was his own job.
That's
it was
the
his
thing
own
is
career
that we all see through what it is.
Yeah.
Even the people on Twitter that are like, I mean, I retweet Keyshawn. Fuck, I do it because I want him to come here because I won a national championship. But I know exactly what I'm doing. He knows what I'm doing. He knows that I don't give two shits about anything other than.
And honestly, yeah. And you can't blame the players because there is the feeling of exploitation that the amount of work they put in and what the payoff is.
Well,
Keyshawn Johnson Jr. could go to any college he could get into without playing football because he can afford it. Because, you know, so he has less at stake than some of these other guys.
And right. I think he's a pretty good student, too, it looks
yes.
like.
Yes, right.
He's very
smart. But, like, you know, from his point of view, look, I want to sell the Keyshawn Jr. brand. So I'm going to tweet stuff and I'm going to take advantage of people who are retweeting me. And
right. And that's smart.
Yeah.
It's smart. And I mean, when he came down to, he came down and watched part of the game with that, our watch site, you could tell it was in the air. There was this air, and not on his part necessarily, on everybody's part.
No, just him being around is exciting.
And exciting, but also sort of gross, like, not on him, but on some of
the whole process,
the whole thing.
I almost felt bad for him.
I felt very bad for him.
Because he, I think, wanted to go there. I think he wanted to see Husker fans, maybe see, like, who recognized him.
Sure.
And
he didn't expect that it was going to be like, he was going to be like a petting zoo.
Oh, there people all around him?
But it was more, people were scared to talk to him a little
bit. Except for a couple guys came over and like, come sit with us. And then other guys were like, but he's sitting with us. And they like started bickering over who he was going to sit with.
And then he left at halftime.
And he,
yeah. And I don't know whether it was, hey, people aren't flocking to me, so this isn't fun.
That definitely wasn't the vibe I got.
Or if he looked
out of place.
Yeah. Like,
with a bunch of 30-year-olds.
I think he went there expecting there to be more young girls.
Yeah.
As part of it.
But he also went during the Minnesota game.
Right.
When Nebraska had just come off kind of a little bit of a rough stretch.
He should have been there for the Wisconsin game.
Well, he was going to come for the Oregon game and then didn't.
And then didn't, which would have been a good game for him to come to. But either way, there was a grossness to that I felt. I mean, not like in a...
Yeah.
Not like in like a weird... like I mean, in a weird way, but not like in like a... not a reflection of Keyshawn.
No, just the whole kind of
the whole
thing.
Yeah, the whole aura of recruiting just felt sort of like...
It is. Well, it is. It's a nasty business.
The kids also coming there on a Saturday, probably super tired, too, because, like...
Played his game the night before,
yeah,
right?
He was there in sweatpants and flip-flops and just like, those kids are sore at that point, too.
Yes.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be at a bar the day after playing a football game.
Yeah. Okay, last question. Joe's got to leave soon.
Okay.
My last question for everybody.
Yeah.
Are we going to win a national championship before I die?
I feel like we've discussed this on here before.
In one of our lifetimes? Like, before you die, that doesn't tell me anything, because what if you die in 2 years? No, is the answer.
Okay.
I don't think we're winning one in the next 2 years. I don't think we're winning one in the next 3 years.
Call your year.
And I don't think you can know after that.
Call your year. What do you think based
here's the
on...
2022.
Here's the other potential issue. How long football keeps going.
That's
another part of it. Because here's the thing. Football will never stop. Football's always going to go on. But when does it lose its pop? When do they start pushing soccer or basketball harder or
in Nebraska, not for 25 years, no matter what.
But that's my point, is that part of the reason Nebraska has such great records in the 60s and 70s was because they were one of the schools to really push it hard from the beginning.
Yeah.
So if all of us, we become North Dakota State.
Then we win a bunch of national championships.
If football loses its popularity in 20 years.
But it won't lose it. Nebraska is no different than Alabama or, Georgia fans or LSU fans. It's going to last there for a long time, too.
Joe's right that after a certain amount of time, you can't predict it out anymore. I think...
Because in 20 years, who's the coach?
I think within the next 5 years, we're in that conversation, and from there, who knows?
Yeah, I just want to get to the Big Ten championship game again.
But all you have to do is start putting yourself in the conversation.
Right.
And I think we'll be there within the next 5 years, but what happens after that, I don't know.
Yeah.
So the answer is maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only answer that it can be.
I think that was going to be the answer.
I really want to win. I don't want to die, guys.
Well,
I don't.
That's more up to you than Nebraska. Like,
you don't know how much time I spend each day worrying about dying.
I know, dude. I thought I was the only one.
We all do.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I will wake up at night and just occasionally be like, oh, God, I hope it doesn't happen tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Yeah, geez. I think about it, too. Like, when I'm driving on the interstate, I'm like, you know, that car could just swerve into my lane and this could be all it. Did I tell Irina that I love the dogs?
Oh, jeez.
No, I'm kidding.
I used to work in a Best Buy and just be afraid that people would walk in and just spray, like...
Guns?
Yeah. I mean...
It could happen.
Yeah.
In New York City, for sure.
I worried about it when I was in New Hampshire.
Hey, guys, do us a favor. Tweet us.
There's
at
more guns in New Hampshire than in New York City.
Live free or die, baby.
Yeah.
Twitter us. Tweet at us, at Big Red Cobcast, and tell us about your biggest fear of dying and how you are afraid to die.
Or leave us some money on Patronish or whatever
Patreon.
It is.
Patreon. There'll be a link in the
Patronum.
There'll be a link in the Cobcast article, as well as we'll tweet it out throughout the week. Please help us keep the Cobcast going because we like doing it, but it's also fucking expensive. So
how expensive is this thing?
Well, that mic you're talking into right there. It's not a cheap
mic, spend
bro.
About $10 at Cobcast on gum.
Yeah, the coffee alone you guys
That's
drink.
That's true. Like, yeah. I've only
had one cup here
this morning. I'd like a different option than Dunkin' Donuts,
well,
quite frankly.
You're
going
to have to bring your own then, because
yeah,
Dunkin' Donuts
you know, your financial contribution to the Cobcast.
But I'm unemployed.
What are you going to bring, Pete's coffee?
I guess
shit from Target.
Yeah, what are you gonna? What other coffee would you possibly bring that's better than Dunkin' Donuts?
I don't know. Fair Trade Intelligentsia coffee. Intelligentsia is a pretty good coffee company.
You sound like a goddamn hipster.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
I'm not, but
kind of looks like
one
too.
Well, I was gonna say those glasses.
I gotta get new glasses too, even though I'm unemployed.
You look like the hipster version of Drew Carey's little brother.
Jesus. All right. Let's get out of here.
Hip hip.
Hooray!
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.